Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Jesus means Christmas to me.
Stable. I was thinking about it when I saw the baby in the manger up here, that what's amazing to me, I mean, Jesus was born not in a palace. He was born in a smelly stable. But what's even more amazing is that he came, and when you tie all the gospel together, the birth, the cross, and the resurrection, that's what encompasses what we call the gospel. And the gospel is good news, and the reason that is good news is because he didn't come to be born in the stable, although he did. He came to be born in our dirty and stinky hearts. That's what's amazing to me. That's what Christmas is all about. I was sharing with Sherry, I don't remember if that was yesterday or the other day now, about when I was looking through the book of what y'all had planned, the things that y'all were doing and the songs, and I was reading the words, reading the narrations, and I said, I want to do something at the end. I want to tag what you do, something that complements what you're going to do for us. And I was getting frustrated because, you know, your mind at Christmas goes to Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, Daniel 9, Micah 5, Luke 2 and 1, and Matthew 2. Those are the scriptures, Galatians 4, that your mind automatically goes to at Christmas. And so I was praying. I was like, Lord, I'm not seeing what you're wanting me to see here. And I was getting frustrated. And so after a couple of days, I just continued to pray. One morning, the Lord put this on my heart really strong, and I grabbed a legal pad, and I just wrote the word down, one word. And here it is, convinced, convinced. I don't know about y'all, but I'm absolutely convinced as a Christian that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm absolutely convinced that he was born as the scriptures had prophesied throughout the Old Testament, that he was born exactly the way the scripture said. I'm convinced that he came to this earth, that he is God. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that he went to a cross in Israel, up on a hill in Jerusalem, outside the city gates. If you've never been to Israel and you ever get a chance to go and you can go, try to go, because it's like walking back in time. And I'm convinced that he died on a cross with two others beside him hanging on crosses as well. And I'm absolutely convinced that when Jesus died, he gave his life, because the Bible says that God gave him the power to take his life and to raise it up again. And when Jesus said, it is finished, the Bible says that his head went down, and he says, unto thy hands I commit my spirit, and his head bowed. The Lord Jesus, at his own spoken word, gave his life so that you and I could have life. That's why he came at Christmas. You say, why was he virgin born at Christmas? He was virgin born at Christmas because he could not have the same bloodstream that you and I have. He needed to have an innocent bloodstream. The name Adam in Genesis literally it's a word for mankind. Man, you can see the word man, God created man. And when you see the word man, that's the same word as Adam. God created Adam. Adam messed up. He was our head. Everybody here is here because Adam was created and Eve was created. But Adam messed us all up. When we get to heaven, I don't know, I'll be so loving when I get to heaven, I'll say, good to see you, Adam. But right now, I think I'd probably break a knuckle in a handshake or something. He messed us all up. He's the reason for all this mess. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can read it from verse 43 to 49, that we needed a new Adam, and that Jesus Christ is the second Adam. Jesus came as this little baby, but he didn't give up his glory. When he was in that manger as a little baby, he was fully, think about this, he was fully God encompassing a little baby. You and I can never relate to that. It's not meant to be, because we're not God. But can you imagine being God and you're in a little bitty baby human's body? I mean, I thought, there's times I'm a weird thinker. And Teresa, don't say nothing. There's been times I've thought, what if Jesus, as a little baby, decided that he's going to do a spoken word in his body and decide to get up and do a couple of gymnastics flips and just really reveal his glory and power, but he didn't. He grew up as a little baby. He grew up as a child. He grew up as a young adult. He grew into his adulthood, and the difference in him and us is this. Jesus did that so that he could save us. And he lived under the law, Galatians 4, 3 and 4. He was born under the law that he could redeem those who were born under the law, which is us. And so Jesus lived that life without a single sin. No sin. He was the pure Lamb of God. And here's the verse, that the verses that the Lord put on my heart. And I'm gonna pick up in Romans chapter 4. And I'm not going to read all the text, but I want to. You'll kind of catch up as you hear it. This is about Abraham. And Abraham is called the father of faith. And the reason for that, Jesus came to die in such a way and live in such a way that we could be justified by what? Justified by faith. That's how we're to be justified. Salvation is by faith. Okay? Now watch this. He says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened. Now watch this. This is so important. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, now Abraham's fully convinced before the promise came to pass, that what he had promised he was also able to perform. And therefore, and I love verse 22, watch this, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, that righteousness is imputed righteousness. I see a lot of people doing this. Wallace, would you do me a favor and turn that thermostat down right there behind you? I think it's pretty warm. And that righteousness was imputed. It's like a shot. It's like when you get a shot. When you get a shot, what do? They inject the medicine into your body. And he's saying to Abraham, here you are believing my promise. You're believing my promise that you're going to have a child, and that child is going to be, you're going to have descendants that will be a nation. And Abraham is an old man. And for 25 years, he had to believe that promise. For 25 years, he had to believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do in his life. And Abraham's 100 years old. Can you imagine being 100 years old and somebody comes up to you and says, you're going to have a child? And Abraham waits, and God delivers. Literally, he delivers. And so Isaac is born, and God's word comes to pass. But he says this. Now, here's what you don't want to miss. He says, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That means he was justified by faith. And verse 23 says, now it was not, now watch this, now it was not written for his sake alone that was imputed to him. Hear that again. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. But also for us. He's saying that what God did for Abraham and how Abraham was justified by faith, he's saying that God will do for you today. That's the picture. And you say, well, how does that apply to my Christian life? Well, let me finish reading it. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us. Who's the us? Who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our sins or our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Chapter 5 should be pushed down a little bit. I don't know why the translators put it right there, but this is what he did. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now you say, how does that apply? Think about this. Christianity is not escapism. Some people say, oh, those Christians are just trying to escape reality. They go in their churches and they sing and they rejoice. They're just trying to escape reality. No, it's not escapism. Escapism is what I used to be back when I was an alcoholic before I got saved. Escapism is when you got to have the bottle. Escapism is when you got to have the drugs. Escapism is when you got to go and you've got to party. Escapism is when you've got to just keep doing something in order to escape. But not Christianity. So Christianity is not escapism at all. Christianity is not wishful thinking. Christianity is not wishful thinking. Wishful thinking, oh, this is a pie-in-the-sky faith, a pie-in-the-sky belief. No, it's not. It's not wishful thinking because we have the Word and prophecy fulfilled. We have history. We have everything we need. We have our changed, transformed hearts that have caused us to live a different life and put us on a different path. We have answered prayer. We have the Word of God. We have Jesus confessing with our spirit that we are children of God, that makes us cry out, Abba, Father. So it's not wishful thinking. What else is Christianity not? It's not fate or fatalism. Fate is when you believe that it's just fate. It's just fate that I'm here today. It's just fate that I believe in the Bible or in the Lord. It's just fate. No, it's not fate at all. Because if it's fate, then it couldn't be Psalms chapter 139 where it says that your days have been fashioned before you even though there was as yet as none. There's a sovereign God in the universe. So it's not escapism. It's not wishful thinking. It's not fate. It's not stoicism. In other words, where we just rigid our backs and we put our shoulders forward and we say, I'm just going to go through life and I'm just going to face every evil that comes before me and I'm just going to say I'm a Christian. Just to say I'm a Christian. That's paganism, by the way. Oh, it's not that. It's about being transformed and having a living Savior come to live within our heart that changes us for all of eternity. From the day He comes to live in your heart to the very day you die, and then for all of eternity, you are with the Lord and the Lord is with you. That's the prayer of John 17 that Jesus prayed. So it's none of those four things. So what is Christianity? What is it? Christianity, it's realism. Christianity is realism. It is real. It is fact. It is truth that we put our faith into. That's what Christianity is. So we look out into a dark world today. All you've got to do is get the newspaper. All you've got to do is turn on the news. And the stuff that we see that's going on in this world, it sickens us. We look at the things in the slippery slope of evil that's taking place today, and it just seems that there's no depth for where people will go. There's no depth. And we ask ourselves, is God real? Is God there? Is God hearing our prayers? Is God at work? I say to you today, on the authority of the Word of God, that God is hearing your prayers, that God is at work, and like Abraham, you've got to trust Him. But you say, well, how do you know you trust Him? It begins with Christmas. It begins with believing that Jesus came from heaven to earth, that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. So it begins with a trust that Jesus is God. It begins with believing that He came at Christmas. He was born of a virgin, just as the Bible said. And then the second step, that He went to the cross at Calvary and He shed His innocent blood, the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was born, the innocent Lamb of God went to a cross and the innocent Lamb of God bore our sins in His body that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's what the Bible says. And so you say, what is the rest of the gospel story? It is the resurrection. Because if Jesus just had died and not resurrected from the grave, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that our faith would be futile. It would be in vain. But Jesus came out of the grave. And when He came out of the grave, here's the good news, and that's why it's called good news. When He came out of the grave, in His hand is a pardon with your name on it. Every person in this room has a pardon with their name on it. And so we have to receive Him. And those who receive Him are those who by faith reach out and say, I believe that You died for my sins. I believe You by faith, and I receive the pardon. I receive You into my heart. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I believe You're God. I believe You were born. I believe You died for me, and I believe You resurrected from the grave, and that You're alive today, and You hear my prayers, and You're offering salvation. And then you say, what happens after that? I'm glad you asked. The last thing that happens is this. Christianity is a life lived from the deduction of the gospel. Christianity is a life lived from the deduction of the gospel. Every time you have faith, You're living from a deduction of the gospel because you believed it was true and you had faith to believe in that, faith to receive Jesus as Savior. Jesus gave you the right to become the child of God. And so that same faith that you exercise in your marriage, that same faith you exercise in your home, that same faith you exercise in your finances, that same faith you exercise when you're witnessing to somebody, that same faith you exercise just to exercise your faith in prayer, whatever it might be, is a deduction from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and your faith would have no ability, your faith would have no power had it not been for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can pray. That's why we can walk in the truth. That's why we can walk in the light. That's why we can pray believing and expecting, because we are deducting from the gospel. We are living from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that good or what? That's good stuff. That's how we live, and it's 11:55. And so we're going to start shutting it down. We live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about y'all. I know what it's like to be lost. Well, I know what it's like to be lost all kinds of ways. I got lost at Bucky's one time. Y'all ever been lost at Bucky's? No, I'm not talking inside the store. I was coming from the hospitals in Plano, went to Bucky's, and I look up, what was that little town, Balch Springs? What was it? Sunnyvale or somewhere. I'm glad I called Cliff so he could turn me around. I had to repent. And that's what repentance is. I went to Bucky's coming to Lindale. I left Bucky's and was headed to Fort Worth. I look up and I'm thinking, Canton ought to be showing up here anytime now. Where's Canton? So I know what it's like to be lost. I know what it's like to be in bondage to alcohol. I know what it's like to be in bondage to depression and not to have hope and not to have joy. And I want to tell you, y'all, we have a Savior that has never left His throne. We have a King of glory who is sitting on the throne at the right hand of God at this very moment, interceding in your life. Every time you sin, He's having to, Satan the accuser comes to the Father and he accuses you before Him. This is happening. You say, what's happening in heaven right now? Every time you sin, Satan shows up and accuses you before the Father, and Jesus steps in the gap for you as your intercessor, and he says, I've already covered that with my blood. That's the Jesus that we serve. He is actively on duty in this world and in your life today. That's why we need to pray for a great awakening in America. And that this country will turn back to God, and I am believing that's going to happen. On YouVersion, I don't know anything about that kind of stuff, because I'd use my Bible, but a lot of the younger generation uses their phone for the Bible. YouVersion Bible app is seeing, since 2020, since COVID began, has seen more downloads of their app than ever in history. Their app is being used so much by young people. You know why? Because they're seeking the Lord. God is at work. Give Him a hand for what He's doing. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. And you may be here this morning and you want to give your heart to Jesus. You can do that. You've just heard the gospel and how that is done. You may be in here this morning and God has put it on your heart to obey Him in an area that only you know about, between you and God. Or maybe you're here today and He wants you to join this church. Whatever it is, you just be obedient to the Lord. He is God, and He alone is the one that can bless our hearts and that we are here to obey. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Christmas. And Lord, we don't want to take Jesus out of Christmas. We thank You, Lord, for each one that is here today. And God, we pray. You know our hearts individually. Hebrews 4:13, You see. Everything is naked and exposed to You. Nothing is hidden from You. You see our hearts bare and naked as they are. And Lord, we come to You confessing our sin this morning. And Father, we ask You to forgive us where we have sinned against You. We ask You, Lord, that You would restore our fellowship if our fellowship with You has been broken. We pray, Lord, that You would give us hearts of excitement and joy for who You are, that we would be witnesses wherever we go, that when people see our lives, they'd say, I know that person is a Christian. I know that person knows Jesus. And when we do that, like in the book of Acts, we would be the ones in this generation that will turn this world upside down, This is no time for the church to be in retreat mode. This is the time for the church to raise up the banner of the Word of God and head out in love and grace and mercy with the compassion of the gospel, winning people to Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray you use us as only you can do. Help us to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you and God bless.